to you by Maddie McMillan's Irish Pub, 150th and Penn in Oklahoma City. Maddie McMillan's Irish Pub. It's still March. It's still the month of St. Patrick's Day. Maddie, the Thunder's luck. You know, I'm not even going to throw luck in there because this doesn't really have anything to do with luck. No. The Thunder.
It was a cool attempt at a segue.
I mean, basically nothing's gone right tonight because I tried to segue. That didn't work. The Thunder tried to, tried to
win.
No, they didn't try to win.
play good basketball.
No, they didn't try that either. They just tried to just roll the ball out there and expect to beat Memphis like they typically do against Memphis this season. And it didn't work because the Thunder's not playing well. And they basically just can't expect to beat anybody with the way they're playing. We knew there was a strong possibility they could backslide after a performance like that against Toronto, where basically they needed, you know, a bunch of threes to go in and their defensive effort to be locked tight in the second half. And you knew they weren't going to come out with the same intensity today that they had in Toronto. But you didn't think it would be like that.
No. I thought they were going to play not as good as Toronto as they did in Toronto, but fine. And, like, this Memphis team not only doesn't have anything to play for, they just don't have any players anymore. Like, they're so injured and so and have had so many changes since the trade deadline and have so many injuries, and it's just like, how did this happen?
Well, it happened because the Thunder went into it far too overconfident, and they haven't taken Memphis seriously at any time this season.
They barely squeaked away with that last time.
Right. They only beat them by three last time. And, you know, they made life difficult on themselves the previous time. I think they got down by double digits the previous meeting, the first time they played Oklahoma City. So they haven't taken Memphis seriously all season. They haven't taken anybody seriously that they don't perceive as a threat to them in the Western Conference. And it shows. It shows in their play. It shows that, they're just not a team that, frankly, takes anybody seriously that isn't in the running for the Western Conference playoffs. And they're not a team that's guaranteed any wins right now. They got 8 games to go. And they dropped down to the 8th seed again for tonight. And with this loss, they dropped to 25-22 against the Western Conference. Half of those losses in the Western Conference have come against teams that are not in the playoff race. So they have 11 Western Conference losses against teams that are going to be in the lottery. Multiple losses against Minnesota. That's 3 of those. You got a loss to Memphis in there. Got a loss to Dallas. You've got 2 to Sacramento. You've got a loss to the Lakers, who you have to play again. And the Lakers aren't trying to win games, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the Lakers aren't going to beat you. The Thunder has a 5-game homestand coming up, and you're not penciling in wins on any of them. Because,
damn.
You know, they've got to play Indiana again on Wednesday. Denver on Friday. You got a game against the Mavericks on Sunday, and they've played hard games against all those teams this year. I think they're combined. I guess they'd be 1-0. I guess they're 1-5 against those teams this year. How many times did they play Dallas? Twice? No, they played Dallas 3 times. Okay, so
yeah,
they're one and two.
Or
yeah,
the home and home, and
they lost earlier in the year. They're 1-2 against Dallas. They're 0-3 against Denver. And they're 0-1 against Indianapolis. So they're 1-6 against the teams that they're playing this week, this season. Do you have any confidence in any of those games that the Thunder has a clear victory coming?
So I have the most confidence in Indiana. And that is because I think Billy Donovan actually hit the nail on the head here. I asked him kind of a softball, but it turned into a really good answer, actually. I asked him about what they have to do in order to not let this loss snowball. And he said, oh, I'm not worried about that. Like, we see all the time. We'll play, essentially, they'll play a bad game, come back, play great. He's like, what I'm worried about is the next time we play a great game, how are we going to win the next game? Like, and I think that's actually like very true. But when the Thunder has really awful performances like this, they tend to come back and play well. Something about it lights a fire under them. You know, the last game they played so well defensively and have the, like, you know, that taste of almost victory. So I think I feel the best about Indiana for both of those reasons. As soon as they have a good win, I think that, I mean, that is the question. If once they play a really good game, can they do it twice?
And that's the problem when you're facing the, when you're coming to the playoffs, because
yeah,
eventually you just run out of games. And if you don't have home court advantage, you're not
going
to
run out of games, not on your side.
Exactly. Yeah. You're not going to get that last game at home. So yeah, good luck going to Portland and playing good every other game and having to close out a series in Portland. Yeah. Good luck with that. Like, good luck going to Denver and having to, you know, play well every other game and then have to close out a series in Denver. Like, they've set themselves up for a really bad scenario. I do not see them getting out of a first round series. Even if they do get on a run these last eight games, I think it'll be kind of fool's gold, similar to what we saw last season, where they, you know, put together some inspired games last year where they beat the Rockets down the stretch and such. I think it'll just be a smokescreen, and I think they'll lose in the first round regardless, because I mean, they have some fundamental things they lack. They tend to get into just these bouts of isolation. I was looking at the passing numbers going into tonight's game, and I know in the first, you know, third of the season or so, they're around the 250 range in terms of passes per game, which is bottom two or three in the league. They were kind of back and forth with Houston in terms of the bottom teams in the league. They dropped to dead last in the league. And it's by a big margin. When it was back and forth with them in Houston in that last place spot, or 29th, it was relatively close. Now it's they're down to 238.8 passes per game, and that's not counting tonight's game. And I can imagine it might go down even more because there was a lot of just isolation by Paul George, a lot of jacking shots. Yeah. That's 12 fewer than Houston, and Houston's the most iso-centric team in the league. But the problem is.
Right.
Or the difference
and I
is,
feel like Thunder fans love to make fun of them and then make fun of Houston fans, especially for their arguments that they use with Harden, and throw them back on what people say about Russ, and it's this whole thing. And
well, it's not just Russ. It's Schroeder.
No, and Russ is not doing that.
Yeah, it's
Russ.
Schroeder. It's Westbrook. It's Paul George. It's a smattering of isolation players. It's not just one guy or two guys in Chris Paul and James Harden. It's a bunch of guys in isolation, and they don't do it nearly as efficiently as Chris Paul and James Harden. That's the problem. You can run isolation offense. I mean, you probably don't want to, because comes a point in the playoff series where people can, like, just load up on James Harden. But James Harden is hyper-efficient from three. He can make up for it from three and the free throw line. The Thunder doesn't shoot free throws well.
And when Paul George was being hyper-efficient in everywhere,
yeah,
that was fine.
You could get away
and
with it.
And he's not
yeah.
anymore.
And now he's back to earth, Paul George.
Yeah, 30 points and 29 shots
yeah.
tonight.
And then you have Russell Westbrook, who hasn't been efficient all season. And then you have Dennis Schroeder, who's finally starting to play well, at least offensively. And then you have Steven Adams, who did not have a great offense. I thought Steven Adams was really good defensively, particularly in the third quarter. Against Valanciunas, but if you're going to play isolation ball, you've got to do it at an extremely efficient rate, the way that Paul George is doing it, like you said, during those 2 months where he was just on absolute fire, that he was hitting a bunch of shots in transition, that he was hitting step-back threes, hitting, you know, 45% of his three-point shots. But there just aren't that many guys on earth like James Harden, and there's a reason why there's only one Rockets. Like, the
yeah.
Rockets are the exception to the rule. You're just not going to see that many teams that are that good that have one guy that dominates the ball so much and takes as what you would perceive as inefficient shots as James Harden, which for him are efficient shots. it's not the same thing for Paul George, who's a streakier player than James Harden. James Harden is pretty consistent in terms of the offense he churns out. Russell Westbrook's been consistently inconsistent all year. He's back to 6 of 20. That's back to back 6 of 20 games for him. 1 of 6 from three. You know, Dennis Schroeder was better tonight, but then you get a stinker from Steven Adams in terms of his offense. He only finishes with 2 points against Jonas Valanciunas, who's, I mean, a solid player, but Valanciunas essentially dominated him. So you just get too many substandard performances offensively tonight. It's kind of been the story of the Thunder season. When a few guys do well, the other guys do poorly. And I don't really want to hear anybody talk about the bench or the rotations or Billy Donovan being mad about it, being mad about Billy Donovan's rotation. Yeah, it's not the bench. Like when you play the Memphis Grizzlies that are down to basically a bunch of G League dudes like Tyler Dorsey and Bruno Caboclo,
their starters are their bench.
Yeah, it doesn't. You shouldn't be talking about rotations when it comes down to this. It should be your starters just playing well enough for you to build up a sizable enough lead to where you really don't have to even play in the fourth quarter. I know teams like to muck it up against the Thunder, pack it in, whatever. The Thunder was missing stuff in transition. It wasn't coming against set defense all the
time.
They
were missing so much in transition. It was so painful. It was just like, what? Like, why did you make that extra pass? You had an open layup. Why didn't you make that layup? Like, what are you doing?
No, it's
very hard game to watch. This, yeah, I watched it from very close, and that it was like zooming in, like when you have too much light on your face, you know, those like the like magnifying glass things for your makeup. You might not, ladies, you know, a magnifying glass thing for when you're doing your makeup and it has a light and you look into it, you're like, oh my gosh, I have that many pores. That's what watching this game from press row was like tonight.
Yeah, that's one of the few courtside seats still left in the league. I think it's
nice.
I think it's Memphis.
It was nice other than the things that I was watching.
Right. You picked the worst possible game to have a courtside seat. It's Memphis, it's Dallas, it's Phoenix, and
San Antonio?
Nope. San Antonio's up.
Who am I mixing them up with?
Probably us. Probably the Thunder. It's the Thunder, it's Phoenix, it's Dallas, and it's Memphis. And maybe it's Boston and Toronto, but I wouldn't know because I haven't been there.
No, neither of those.
Neither of those. Yeah, those are the only ones left in the league.
Are you sure San Antonio isn't?
No, San Antonio's up, unless you got to sit down the time.
Oh,
you went.
No.
It's up a level.
Dallas. Did you already say Dallas?
Yeah, I already said Dallas.
Oh. Sorry, I'm mixing up my
Dallas is the worst
Texas
of them. Yeah,
cities.
Dallas is the worst of them because it's super cramped. But I don't know. This was a really bad one. But yeah, they'll probably come home and play better. Better team, more urgency at home. Not that home has been some saving grace for them. They haven't been great there either. You know, they lose that stinker to Miami. But I found Billy Donovan's postgame comments interesting. I don't know how much I liked them necessarily, but you know him.
That's the most upset and not upset. I don't know the right word. But
well,
like,
it's the most
direct and frustrated that I've seen him.
Direct was
ever.
The word I was going to say. That was the most direct he's been in probably this season about them and what they need to do and how they're playing. I'll never forget the Orlando game last year. Was the 20th game of the year, and Orlando beat the crap out of him on the road. Billy was pretty frustrated about that one. And he was basically saying, like, that was the most frustrated I've ever seen him after that game, because he was saying there's certain things you have to do, like, in the game of basketball. He was basically saying, like, you can't cheat the game of basketball. Like, you have to do certain things right. it was just like, oh, my God, this guy's, like, basically talking about these dudes, like, not respecting the game of basketball. This is crazy. So, but tonight was kind of along similar lines without saying those words. I think he took blame personally, but also just the stuff about, you know, he didn't prepare them well to play. Him saying that they got outplayed and basically didn't deserve to win. I think he said that, mm-hmm. you know, word for word. He said that we didn't deserve to win. Outplayed us, outcoached us,
outplayed in every aspect of the game.
I like this one too. The one thing that doesn't allow greatness is inconsistency.
Yeah.
That was,
I love that. I used that it was good. So many places.
Not that that's a necessarily an inspiring line or whatever. I don't know if Billy Donovan's in there saying anything inspiring to rally the troops or whatever, but it was pretty clear that they were just completely not into this game. In all facets. And frankly, I don't know how I feel about Billy pulling out the full court press at the end. I thought that was kind of embarrassing to the players. Not that the players deserve to not get embarrassed. Like you're supposed to be saving their dignity at the end of this game where they didn't play well and they had essentially let a bunch of G League guys run all over them. But I thought that was a little bit Bush League by Billy at the end by pulling out the press like it was Kentucky in an NCAA tournament game. I was like, what are we doing? Like they're not going to – it's not like you're going to get, like, three turnovers in a matter of however many seconds were left.
He's just been – maybe he's been watching the tournament.
Yeah.
And it just happened naturally.
I didn't take that as a way – if you haven't been coaching that way all year, I didn't take that as a way to all of a sudden, like, get through to your guys by making them – by breaking out a full court press, which they – clearly haven't practiced because they just got destroyed when they tried it. Like,
they really did.
They were just giving up.
They were leaving guys open all over the place. No one was getting back.
Yeah, and look, they might have been like scheming to get certain, but like there were basically two guys standing under the goal. They didn't know what to do, which to me is like, not only are you like embarrassing them by making them do this at the end of a game that they have no chance of winning, but like, I just wonder how that goes.
But you're just giving Bruno the ball underneath the basket.
Yeah, and I just wonder how that goes in the locker room after the game. Like I don't think that this team is like self-aware enough to understand why they were doing that. They probably would look at it as, I can't believe Billy made us do that. Da 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 da. Like instead of, yo, we should have been playing hard. Then we wouldn't have had
so
to.
So that we didn't have to.
Yeah, so we didn't have to full court press with however many seconds left. Like I see some of the similar things I've seen in previous seasons from in terms of just like a general arrogance when it comes or laissez-faire attitude when it comes to, just your opponents, and I just don't think that that particular tactic is going to register with this team. Like, I don't think that Russell Westbrook's going to be like, oh man, we really let this one go or something. Like, he's gonna say all the right stuff, but I've seen it too many times now for me to believe that like it actually registers for them to like.
Well, I posted video of him talking about how he wasn't worried, but he drilled in even more about that. A question I asked him afterwards, and he talked about the difference between the perception from the outside and what they need to be doing at the end of the season and what people externally think they need to be doing and basically saying like, if we're all good internally, like I'm not going to worry.
Well, like, I don't know how they could possibly be good internally. That's the only thing. Like, what are, like, I wouldn't expect them to even listen to the outside perception. Like, don't watch SportsCenter. Don't listen to sports radio. Like, that's not going to do you any good. Like, go to the gym.
You don't think that they listen to us?
Well, no, they don't. Yes, of course they do. They listen to us.
You know, they put our podcast on with their morning cereal.
Well,
how they start their day.
Well, like, I think the biggest issue with athletes is the people around you. Because if you've got people around you being real, then that's good. But if you got people – like, I would imagine that a large majority of people that are around these athletes probably aren't telling them the truth about, like, what's really going on. They're like, oh, you played so well, and I'm proud of you. It's like, yeah, he played like crap. But, like
– Well, I feel like part of why they're so good at bouncing back, though, is that they're so confident. they're like, oh, well, you know, flush it. They're really good at flushing it. But that also has not translated to having urgency after a win.
No, no, it hasn't. And I don't know. Part of me just, well, I know it's an effort thing because these guys, I mean, Russell Westbrook is backdoored on the first pass of the first play of the game. Russell Westbrook is backdoored for a layup. Like, come on, man. But I like there's after watching this for however many years post Kevin Durant, like there's just a part of me that just thinks that like the talent's not good enough. Like as well as they play, like they're not going to be able to get enough three-pointers to go down. They're not going to be able to I think defensively the talent is good enough. That the defense is an effort thing. That's a concentration and effort thing. When they want to concentrate and they want to put in the required effort, when they want to hustle after defensive rebounds, Tyler Dorsey running across the court to get a defensive rebound in the fourth quarter with Dennis Schroeder just standing there. Like that's effort stuff. That's effort, concentration, focus stuff that you just need to lock in on more. But the offense, I'm just not sure they have enough talent. Like, and you know, you can scheme it up, but if you don't have spacing, you don't have spacing. If you got Steven Adams out there and he can't space the floor, or if you got Terrence Ferguson out there and nobody's gonna respect him shooting the three, or even Jeremy Grant, who's shot really well, or Dennis Schroeder, who's been in and out, or Russell Westbrook, who the Warriors are just standing 15 feet off of and can't get to the rim like he used to, and just has no semblance of being able to create a shot other than getting to the rim or shooting a three. Like he has no mid-range game to speak of right now. I just don't know how much you can scheme past that, like just the clear deficiencies you have as an offensive basketball team. Like, and then you would think that Billy Donovan would say, you know, we need to move the ball, but these guys seem incapable of moving the ball until just various spurts throughout the game. Like, it's not something they do with any sort of consistency. And the consistency part to me, like, you know, it's starting to get to a point to where I'm like, okay, Billy Donovan, why can't you squeeze any more consistency out of these guys? You've been with them for 3 years. Why can't they consistently pass the ball around if you've been around with them for so much time? It's like, I'm not trying to run Billy Donovan off, but it comes a point to where you just start to question if the message is getting through. Look, to be frank, the message didn't get through with Scott Brooks here either. Like, they didn't pass the ball anymore when Scott Brooks wanted them to move the ball. So,
well, and at some point, like, coaching definitely is a thing, but also at some point, these are grown ass men. Can I say that?
We've said worse. We've said worse.
These are grown men, like, who have been playing, you know, some of them playing basketball professionally for over a decade. Like, at some point, they have to take it upon themselves. Granted, I'm also not in those meetings. I don't know how the message is trying to be conveyed, so maybe it isn't.
Who knows? Let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back and try to find some positives in this pile. And then we can talk about Memphis, too, because Memphis is a cool place, and I just want to ask you Memphis questions because, frankly, that's better than talking about the Thunder playing the crap. All right, we'll be back.
Matty McMillan's Irish Pub is the place to be for game time with friends and family. 17 flat-screen TVs and 10 beers on tap. Perfect for watching the game with friends. Join Maddie's for Build Your Own Burger Night every Monday, Trivia every Tuesday, Live Music every Wednesday, and $5 Pint Nights every Thursday. Matty McMillan's also offers Kids Eat Free every Sunday night. Grab your friends and family and hang out at Maddie's at 150th and Penn. Visit MattyMcMillan's.com to learn more.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. Maddie's...
I'm watching...
Yeah, I'm getting away. I'm getting away because Nurkic just snapped his leg in half. And
it looks really bad.
Thoughts are with him and the Blazers because...
Yeah,
he was having a great season. And look, we make
even
jokes.
Even if he wasn't, oh my gosh. Yeah,
we make jokes about Nurkic and his Thunder going ons and all the beef and such, but you just don't want to see people get hurt, man. And have mercy. That's one of those that You hope that the guy can just come back and play, because that's rough, and that's going to be rough for the Blazers' playoff chances too. And just hope he gets back to where he can be back to normal, man. That's
yeah.
Oh man, that was Paul George, Gordon Hayward-esque.
Very much so.
Just a big downer of a podcast. Now we got people snapping legs and the Thunder playing like poop. Thunder loses tonight 115-103 to the Memphis Grizzlies. I guess we can hit on a few positives while we're here. There aren't many, but
Dennis Schroeder shooting the ball well.
Oh, Dennis Schroeder. Ferguson shot well tonight too. You know, Ferguson made all his shots. So
yeah, that's huge for them.
I mean, we've been asking for Dennis Schroeder, and I was going to say Dennis Ferguson. We've been asking for
Dennis Ferguson and Terrence Schroeder.
Yeah, we've been asking for Terrence Schroeder to shoot better since the break, and you know they finally have a good game together, and then you know the rest of the starters just really don't do much of anything. You know, Jeremy Grant's meh. He had 8 points. Paul George, 30 on 29 shots. Oh, sorry, Jeremy Grant had 7 points. Correction. You know,
yeah,
Jeremy Grant was really ineffective tonight. You know, basically, Billy Donovan just kind of benched him down the stretch for Dennis Schroeder, and we just went small.
I thought it was going to be a big game for him because we've seen him really attack the zone well, and Memphis is trying new things with their defense, and I was wrong.
big minus 29 for Jeremy Grant tonight. Not great from him. Not great from any of the starters, frankly. Westbrook, yeah. 6-20. We talked
Deontay
about that.
Burton had the best plus minus of anyone on the team in his 8 minutes.
Look, all the bench players were pluses. They had that good spurt to start the second quarter. Little 9-2 run. I think it was 11-2 actually. And you know,
took the lead for a second there.
Briefly. Very briefly, and then
after Russ came back in,
yeah, and then Russell came back in and did some silly stuff. He lost Chandler Parsons on a 3-pointer, and he bailed him out on one possession where he fouled at the end of a good defensive possession, and he tried to take the charge and got a foul, and just silly stuff. But no, Schroeder.
But he didn't get a tech.
Well, he's not going to get
more positive.
He's not going to get any more. He won't. He did a good job of talking it out. Whatever. Whatever he had to do, but he won't get any more texts. No, you know, when Schroeder played better, his defense wasn't very good. They were driving at him, which is going to be a problem in the playoffs. I thought Steven Adams' third quarter was good. The rest of it, Valanciunas dominated him. Adams still struggles to get defensive rebounds sometimes, and you know that's going to be a problem for the Thunder. His offense was off. You know, he had a bad miss on a putback. His touch was not there. So I thought his second
good
half
positives.
No, I thought I thought he was really impactful in that third quarter. Getting deflections. I think he had 3 steals. Just his defense one on one on Valanciunas was really good. And you know, that was, well, I'm not gonna say that's the quarter that the Thunder won, but that was a only quarter they scored 30 points. You know, they were able to, you know, get some steals and get them out in transition a little bit. And that's when they started getting their transition game going in the second half because, you know, first quarter they didn't score any transition points. They outscored 7-0 in transition. And it's just, you just don't expect that against a team like Memphis that likes to slow it down and slow down the pace. The Thunder getting outrun like that. So they did better for the rest of the game. I think they outscored them like 20-11 and fast break points the rest of the game, but just really disappointing from the offense, especially considering that you don't turn the ball over that much. They only turned over 10 times, but for them to, you know, perform as poorly as they did offensively in terms of the shot selection, that's what really bothered me more than anything. The shot selection just got them in bad situations defensively because you had Paul George coming down, jacking up pretty bad shots in isolation. You know, Russell Westbrook taking some bad ones, and then Steven Adams was just ineffective, just not being able to score putbacks, not be able to command the glass. You know, it killed him. You know, Bruno Caboclo and Valanciunas had 25 rebounds to Jeremy Grant and Steven Adams' 10. That about says it all there. They were dominated on the boards by a team that was throwing out a bunch of guys that are just kind of secondhand guys. They got out-rebounded by 16. That's just inexcusable.
Yeah. It was ugly. They got, like, a little bit of offense going on the right side where they have guard drive. Their Memphis's rotations, they were overhelping a little bit, kick it back out, and then they stopped doing that. So.
Consistency, they don't have it. They get my dog's over here choking. They get something going and they go away from it. DeLon Wright has 13 assists by himself, and the Thunder has 17 as a team. I mean. What are you doing? What are you doing? I'm singing. I'm going to stop.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
There you go.
I'm doing me.
Oh, man.
I'm doing me.
I brought it out of Maddie. I love her.
Yeah, that was on you.
I know. I meant to, though.
You did not expect me to do the response.
But I meant to, because I wanted people to hear your rendition of that. The Kids Bop.
So
the Kids Bop version. Yeah, I wanted them to hear that Kids Bop. Maddie, did you go to Central or did you quit?
I went to Central.
Thank goodness.
I stayed through a lot. So there was a Cardinals game here. So there was a massive group of Cardinals fans in front of me. And I was like, oh, my gosh.
Like the real Cardinals?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. They put them on the line 31 times. I didn't even see that. That's terrible. All right. Anyway, the real Cardinals were in town?
The real Cardinals were in town. So you had a bunch of people coming down from St. Louis who wanted barbecue, apparently. And so the line was so long. But then they let this massive group all in at the same time. And so the line actually, after I waited in it for a really long time, then suddenly was gone. So I have two more ribs left waiting for me in my hotel room. Real excited about those. And then before that, I went to the Civil Rights Museum, which was super cool. Actually, in between, on my way from the Civil Rights Museum to the to Central Barbecue, I was like, that guy kind of looks like Presti. I was like, I don't know, not quite. His hair isn't the same. Turns out, yeah, his hair is the same because it was Presti.
So was Presti going to the Civil Rights Museum?
Yeah, he was there with his group of, what was it, the Forward Thinking Program?
Oh.
It's called, right? So he had a group of 7 high school students that from local Oklahoma high schools that he brought out as part of this program that he does every year.
That's a field trip that he does every year. That's pretty cool. That's probably the most positive thing, and I'm not even joking. That is definitely the most positive thing that came out of the Thunder's trip to Memphis.
No joke.
That's great. There's one thing if you want to bang on Sam Presti for his roster decisions, that's fine, or his trades, that's fine. Cough, cough, Harden. But you cannot knock the man's philanthropy, his impact in the community, and what the Thunder does for Oklahoma City and the state. They really do a great job in terms of outreach and trying to enrich people's lives. So, I mean, the basketball is certainly not enriching anybody's lives right now. It's tearing people apart. But, yeah, everything else is fine. I mean, yeah, taking kids to the Civil Rights Museum is fantastic. And hopefully you brought them to Central Barbecue, too, because it's, like, right up the street.
I think they might have.
That would have been the right thing to do. No, I like Memphis. It's a cool city. And I know you said you've been through there a couple different times, so covering the foosball.
Yeah. Memphis was my home airport for a bit.
Which is crazy because you don't think it's close in relation to Mississippi, but it's actually like pretty close.
Right there.
Yeah, it's like on the Arkansas border.
Hour and 15 from Oxford.
That is crazy. I would never envision that. You know, Thunder's got Indiana coming up. A tough week for the Thunder, even though Dallas is Dallas. But we've seen the Thunder play Dallas this year. So, and frankly, we've seen the Thunder play for the past 3 weeks. Nothing is going to be easy for this team in the last 8 games. How do you think this is going to play out this week, Manny?
Sorry, I got distracted. I think my journal didn't send, but I will talk to you after this about that. Will you ask the question again?
How do you think this is going to play out? And I'm pretty sure I saw it come across the email.
My write through?
Oh, your second? No, not the second. The first one. As long as you got the first one, I didn't see the second one go through. To those who don't understand what's going on, we send emails informing people that we filed things on deadline, and Maddie might have not sent her second email where she did a second.
We also have supposedly switched over our emails, so.
Oh, yeah, that was a thing.
So that might be why.
That was a thing.
You guys don't need to hear all this.
No, you don't need to hear how the sausage is made. Because it's very boring. But, yeah, I'm going to have to check that out, too, because I sent some things that maybe didn't get through. Anyway, let's wrap this up. Maddie?
This week, I think it'll go better than it did tonight.
Oh, that's optimism.
I think they want was 5 games at home. 5 game homestand?
5 game homestand. You've got a... Indiana, Denver, Dallas, Lakers, Pistons.
I think they want to win at least 3.
They'd like to win them all.
They'd like to win all of them. I think they will beat Indiana. I think Denver will actually be close.
It's always close.
Huh?
It's always close against Denver. They don't finish.
I think they might lose to Dallas. But Dallas is, for whatever reason, they have some rough games against them.
Dallas spaces them out really well.
If they don't get on a good role, because we saw them go through a great winning streak earlier in the season, so like they can be streaky in a positive way sometimes, but I think if they don't get up good momentum and like start actually figuring things out, they could definitely lose to Dallas. I think LA they'll win, but it might be closer than you'd expect. I think they'll beat Detroit.
I'll go with 3 of 5. I actually think they're due to beat Denver. I know Denver's playing lights out or whatever. And everybody, it seems like everybody in the Western Conference playoff race is playing well except the Thunder, which is true because every team is at least 6-4 in their last 10 games except the Thunder. I think that they'll get 3 out of 5. I think that, you know what? I'm not even going to try and predict which 3 out of 5, but I think they'll get 3 out of 5. But I will say I think they're going to beat Denver just because they're due, and that's a game that they should want and should be highly motivated for, considering that they haven't beaten Denver all year. They've had close games against them, and that's really the biggest team out of these that are going to be coming through in the next week or so. I think they have every motivation to play well against Denver. Some of these other teams, they frankly just, they're not going to get up for Indiana. I mean, even though they're coming off a loss, they're just not, they don't, what's the motivation to get up for Indiana? They're not going to get up for Indiana. They're not going to get up for Dallas. They're not going to get up for, I mean, unless LeBron's playing, they're not going to get up for LA, and LA's quit their season. And I don't think they're going to get up for Detroit either. I think Denver's the only team they'd really get up for. So. They should get up for Indiana because they lost a 19-point lead against them last time, but I just don't think that's the case.
I think they're going to – I'm – all right, cool. Well, we'll reconvene after I'm right about them beating Indiana. And you know, I could see Denver because it's been close a lot.
It'll be a Friday night. People are going to be amped. They'll get up for Denver. They'll get up for Denver.
That could be their two big games in a row.
Yeah, and then they'll get up for Denver. They'll coast. They'll chill for a day, and then they'll lose to Dallas. Yeah.
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 Yeah. But I also think that they're going to get up for Indy, so.
We shall see. All right. Enough just guessing game stuff here. Let's get out of here.
All on the record, so
it's all on the record. So
troll us when we're wrong.
Whatever. Go enjoy your ribs. Thanks for joining us on the Thunder Buddies podcast, everyone. Thanks for listening, downloading, sharing on Apple Podcasts. You can find it on the Thunder Buddies blog, or Thunder Rumblings blog, rather, not Buddies. And thanks to Maddie McMillan's for the sponsoring. Maddie McMillan's Irish Pub, Northwest 150th and Penn Avenue in Oklahoma City. Great food there, great atmosphere. Made much better when the Thunder actually wins games. And we will see you after Indiana on...